This is a sun revelation. A very special, a very unique kind of revelation. This is the final and ultimate revelation, a sun revelation.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's based largely on Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, in particular the 14th verse. The Old Testament religion was sacrificial from the beginning, from the clothing of Adam and Eve with coats of skins, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. All through the Old Testament revelation, the worshipers of Jehovah brought sacrifices to him. As you read the Old Testament, you learn altars were built, animals were slain, and blood was shed long before Moses ever systematized that teaching in what we know as the Law of Moses. Through all of those experiences, no Jew could have failed to learn the fundamental lesson that was intended by God in this educative process. The lesson was this: the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17 and verse 11. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9 and verse 22. There can be no forgiveness of our sins apart from the letting of blood, the expenditure of life. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin, it is death. And the shedding of blood is the symbol of that death, so that it's absolutely essential and indispensable to our redemption. But the Old Testament only foreshadowed or foretold in symbolic form what would be achieved finally and ultimately and literally in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament sacrifices were a shadow. Jesus Christ is the substance. When Jesus came into the world, he knew himself to be a son of destiny. He knew he was here for a specific purpose. He knew himself to be a son of destiny. He possessed a messianic consciousness without possessing a messianic complex. He was never marked by a morbid preoccupation with his death or the death of others, but he had a realistic appraisal of the purpose of his coming. He knew that he'd come to die. He was a son of destiny. He had a special purpose, a special function. He was here to let his blood. He was here to die. He was here to experience the conflagration, the flame of God's wrath. He was here to interpose himself between ourselves and God Almighty so that the wrath of God might fall on him and never fall on us. That's why he came. He knew himself to be a son of destiny. He came to give his life. When Jesus faced the cross, he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." John 12, verses 27 and 28. And you know, that was a critical juncture in the ministry and function of our Lord Jesus Christ, the redemptive function of our Lord Jesus Christ as he came into our world, as he faced the cross. And you know, every one of us are given opportunities to respond in the self-same way. We come to those critical junctures in our life, those important occasions in which it's absolutely critical that we yield everything we have to the Son of God, that we're willing, if need be, to shed our blood for the glory of God. And we're faced with the same two questions. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. That's what many modern Christians say. Whenever the critical moments come, they say, "Father, save me from this hour," and they run away. Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." And he laid down his life. And that's what every one of us needs to learn to do as well. And when Jesus came to the cross and he made that statement, it was there on the cross that he shed his blood. And I want to talk about the efficacy of that blood for the next few moments. And begin by saying this: we ought to be thankful for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The great value of that blood, what it has achieved theologically in the throne room of God, and what it achieves in our lives personally when we bring ourselves under the protective covering of it. We ought to be thankful for the great, infinite efficacy and value of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one other thing, we ought to be absolutely certain that by an act of faith, we've brought ourselves under the protective covering of it. I hope all listening to my voice have brought yourself under the protective covering of the blood of Jesus Christ by an act of faith. You've opened up your heart to the Son of God. You've received Him as your Lord and Savior, and you've been saved. We ought to thank God for the great value of Christ's blood and be certain that we're under its protective covering. Now, as I look at Hebrews 9 and verse 14, I believe that four reasons are given for the special and unique efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let me share them with you quickly. Number one, I see in verse 14 a special person. It's the blood of Christ. It's not the blood of bulls and goats, as in verse 13. It's not the ashes of a heifer. It's the blood of Christ. There's a special person here. It's the blood of Christ. The second thing I see in verse 14 is a special presence. It was through the eternal Spirit that He offered Himself. There's a special presence of the Holy Spirit mixed into the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that brings efficacy, it brings power down into what He achieved there. And then the third thing I see is a special perfection. He offered Himself. It was voluntary. No animal ever did that. And He offered Himself without spot to God. It was virtuous. A special perfection. And then finally, I see a special product. Something achieved that the blood of bulls and goats could never achieve. A special product, a cleansed conscience. It will purge your conscience from dead works and a consecrated life to serve the living God. It will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now let's look at these for a moment in the resume. We begin first with a special person. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of bulls and goats, which is mentioned there in verse 13, was adequate to expiate or remove, is what that term means, ceremonial guilt. But it was inadequate to expiate or remove moral guilt. It failed to remove the true guilt of sin and provide inward cleansing. You see, the value of the life is the measure of the value of the blood. What is the value of the life of a bull or a goat in comparison to the value of the life of Jesus Christ? The value of the life behind that shed blood is the measure of the value of the blood. You know, in the Old Testament, we read there in Numbers, the 19th chapter, that in the ancient sacrificial system of Israel, a red heifer would be slain. Then it would be burned, and its ashes would be preserved and stored for future use. They would be, on certain occasions, mixed with water, these ashes of a red heifer. And this is what's referred to in Hebrews 9:13. These ashes of a red heifer would be mixed with water and sprinkled on the ceremonially unclean. Here was a man who had touched a dead body. In touching that dead body, he had rendered himself ceremonially unfit. He could not participate in the temple ritual, according to the law of Moses. And so he came to the temple, and the priest would sprinkle him with water and the ashes from a red heifer. And then he would be reinstated ceremonially to the temple ritual. Thereafter, he could participate in the ritual. A man's body might be cleaned ceremonially through the blood of bulls and goats or the ashes of a heifer. A man's body might be cleaned ceremonially, and yet his heart be torn with remorse and guilt, because the blood of bulls and goats can never permanently, finally expiate sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. The blood of Jesus possessed a special efficacy because of who He was as the Son of God and as the revelation of God. Now, the book of Hebrews gives us, is already given us in the first chapter. In fact, if you want to take just a moment, you might turn there. The book of Hebrews has already given us an insight into the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. If you look in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we're given an insight into the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. In verse 1, we have the former revelation. Formerly, God spoke through the prophets. That's what he says in verse 1. And then in verses 2 and 3, we have the final revelation. The former revelation, verse 1. In verses 2 and 3, we have the final revelation. We're given a contrast and a characterization. A contrast. God formerly spoke through the prophets, but now he speaks by Son. If you notice the little word his there in the King James translation, you'll notice it's italicized. That means it's not in the original text. He formerly spoke by prophets, but now he speaks by Son. This is a Son revelation, a very special, a very unique kind of revelation. This is the final and ultimate revelation, a Son revelation. And then he unfolds for us a characterization of that son, which gives us an insight into the richness of his personality and helps us to understand and appreciate the value of his shed blood. In fact, can I give you just the outline? There are 6 points in it, so it'll just be the outline. In verses 2 and 3, a characterization, as we look at the son, we see his prosperity, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Wealthiest person in the universe is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he shares his wealth with all who will trust him. His prosperity, we see his power, by whom also he made the worlds. The moral and material universe came into being through the spoken word of Jesus Christ. That's his power. We see his perfections, Hebrews 1, 2 and 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, there are his perfections, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, those are powerful phrases. The word brightness means effulgence or the radiance. It's used of a ray of light from a parent body. Just as the ray of sunlight is part and parcel of the sun, so Jesus Christ is part and parcel of the Godhead. He's God. He's the brightness of his glory. And he's the express image, and that's one word in the Greek New Testament. He's the charakter, the express image of his person. You know that word charakter? We have it in English, character. We get our English word character from it. Character is the sum total of what we are, our distinctive qualities. Jesus Christ is the sum total of what God is, the perfect representation of the Father's distinctive qualities, his perfections, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Do you notice his preservation? Upholding all things by the word of his power. Not only did he bring the moral and material universe into being, but the moral and material universe is integrated or held together by the Lord Jesus Christ and flows out in its movement under the direction and guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice his purification? By himself, he purged our sins. You know what that says to me? There's no purgatory. Jesus Christ purged our sins. He delivers us from all facets of the penalty of sin. His work on the cross was so marvelously efficient that there's nothing left for us to bear. We're fully forgiven and cleansed and delivered through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He purged our sins, his purification, and then his promotion. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That was God's final stamp of approval. Now, what am I saying? I'm back in Hebrews 9 now. Hebrews 9, verse 14. What I'm saying is this. We are not dealing in Hebrews 9, verse 14 with the blood of animals, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer. Nor are we even dealing with some significant human being. We are dealing with God in the flesh. The Son of God and God the Son, the final and ultimate revelation of God himself. What I'm saying is this, there is an infinity attached to Christ's being, and that means that there is an infinity attached to Christ's blood. It possesses infinite value and efficacy because of who Jesus Christ is.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Jesus said, I lay down my life. That is a precious statement.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.